It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to a brand new week with some fresh oil. And I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. Last week, I began a teaching called Seven Letters to Seven Churches, found in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. Jesus appeared to John when he was on the island of Patmos, and he shared with him seven letters that John would dictate and distribute to the seven churches that were prominent churches in Asia Minor, and Jesus had a personal message for each church. And he followed a format with each and every letter. He would begin by identifying himself with a part of the vision that John saw of the glorified Christ when he saw him he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he saw Jesus. He was in a white garment. He had a golden sash. His hair was white like wool. His eyes were like a flaming fire. Out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his feet were like burnished bronze. And with each church, he identifies himself with a specific part of that vision that was very relevant to that church. Today we come to the sixth church in the book of Revelation, and it's the church of Philadelphia. Now, it's not the same Philadelphia that we have in the United States, but it was Philadelphia was also the city of brotherly love. That's where that word comes from. Phile was a type of love, phileo love, and Delphia here was the city. So this was a city in Asia Minor that had the same name as the city we have in Pennsylvania. It was a small but faithful church, and it was a church that only received commendation from Christ. He didn't have anything bad to say, because after Jesus would tell the church a specific part of John's vision that he would identify with that church, he would then say something good about that church, although there's going to be a church that he had nothing good to say about. But then he would tell them where they were missing the mark and what they had done wrong. I shared with you that this is a great format for us to follow when we have to have any confrontation. Always begin by telling people the good that you see in them, telling them a way they've blessed your life and how they've been faithful to the Lord before you ever tell them what you have against them or what they're doing wrong. And Jesus did that. And in this church, he had not one bad thing to say about them. Historically, this church would represent the missionary age of the church. We'll get to that at the end of the program. 1700s to the 1900s, a time for worldwide evangelism, the time when the Bible would be translated into many languages and missionary movements began all around the world. And Jesus' message to Philadelphia is one of encouragement, one of faithfulness, and one of reward. Let's begin today with Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write." Now, I shared with you that the word angel there was a Greek word for messenger. So he's writing to the pastor of the church, who will in turn, no doubt, read the letter openly to the church. And Jesus said this, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." The first thing Jesus says is that he is holy and true. Jesus is set apart. He's faithful. He's unchanging. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He goes on to say that he has the key of David. I believe this is a reference to Isaiah 22:22. And this is what it said, "I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." This is referring to the authority of Jesus Christ. He controls access to God's kingdom. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the door to the Father. "No man can come to the Father except by me." That's what Jesus said. You can't go around him. You can't go over him. You can't go under him. You have to go through Jesus. And he has the authority to open and close doors. I have seen this in my life so many times when sometimes we want to force a door open. We're like, God, this is what needs to happen, and we try to push a door open when we need to be seeking His will and saying, God, what do you want in my life? He has the authority to open and to close doors. Jesus controls that access to the Father. Not everyone believes that these seven churches represent seven during church ages, but I do. I believe seven is God's number of completion. I believe the church age is represented by these seven churches. And like I said earlier, this would be the great missionary period that we see throughout history. It began in the 1700s and went all the way through the 1900s. The great area of missionaries where the gospel was spread across the face of the earth. And God opened doors that no man could shut. And He closed doors that no one could push open. See, God has opened doors throughout history for revival, for missions around the world, and for global evangelism. Are you trusting God today that He will open and close doors in your life? He can do that, my friend. He can open doors that no one can shut. Now look at verse 8. He says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. The Church of Philadelphia, they had a divine opportunity to spread the gospel. Jesus opened doors for them that no one was going to be able to shut. And He said, you have a little strength. See, they were not strong in numbers, but they're strong in faith. So many times people judge a church by the size of the church or how many people attend that. Friend, if I was to go by that, I would have given up a long time ago. But I realize that there's times when God will move with just a small number of people. Some of the greatest churches I've ever ministered in have been small churches, but they were mighty with God because He opened that door and no one was going to be able to shut it. See, this was the church age that represented the great awakenings and the missionary movements of people like Hudson Taylor, William Carey, and so many others who spread the gospel worldwide in their ministries. Today, are we walking through the open doors that God has given us? Or are we just resting on our laurels, being comfortable with what has happened so far? I tell you something, I'm 66 years old right now. And I want you to know, I'm busier today than I've ever been any time in my life. God has opened doors in the last year I could have never imagined that He would open. And I'm telling you today, He can open doors that no one can open. He said in verse 9, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Who's he referring to here? He's referring to those people that opposed God's people, God's Jews that were born again. And these were probably religious persecutors who came along and were attacking the church at Philadelphia. And God says, I'm going to bring them down. They're going to have to come and I'm going to make them bow down to your feet. They're going to fall down to your feet and acknowledge that I loved you. He says, one day they're going to recognize the truth of Christ. See, many who opposed the missionary movements over church history, they eventually saw the power of God and that it transformed lives, and they came to know Jesus Christ. Even when we face opposition, Jesus promises ultimate vindication if we're just standing firm in the faith. He said in verse 10, since you have kept my commands to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. He said, keep my command to persevere. Because you've kept my command, this church had remained faithful under pressure. And he said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial. Now, many people believe this is referring to the tribulation. That church would not have to go through the tribulation. It would come later on. I don't believe it's a promise that we in this day and age are kept from tribulation or trials or even the great tribulation. I believe that definitely God is going to keep us from his wrath, because he said in Thessalonians, God has not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the church always goes through times of trial and tribulation. Many revival movements were spared from massive persecutions, and they were used by God during times of great crisis. But we have to ask ourselves, are we remaining steadfast in trial? Are we persevering in our faith? We come now to verses 11 and 12. He says, I'm coming soon. I'm telling you, friend, if it was soon 2,000 years ago when Jesus spoke these words to John and to the church at Philadelphia and ultimately to us, if it was soon 2,000 years ago, friend, how much closer are we today to the return of Jesus Christ? He said, hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. I'm coming quickly, he said. It's a reminder to stay ready for the return of Christ. He said, hold fast. In other words, keep your faith. Don't lose your reward. Now he's going to give the promise to the overcomer. Look what he says in verse 12. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. Now, that's a lot for us to unpack. First of all, he says, I'm going to make him a pillar in the temple. I believe this symbolizes stability, permanence, and honor in God's kingdom. In other words, you don't have to worry about moving, because you're going to be a pillar in my temple. You're going to be in my presence forever and ever. This is God's promise of eternal life for us. If you overcome, you're going to be a pillar in the temple of God. And then he said, I'm going to give you a new name. This is personal. It represents our eternal relationship with God. And he said, you're going to have also the name of the city of my God. That's the New Jerusalem. And it's so interesting, because I don't know if we're going to cover more of the book of Revelation, but if we do, you get into chapter 13 when the Antichrist comes. And what does he do with people? He makes them take this mark. And what is the mark? The mark, what we call the mark of the beast. It's the number of the name or the name of the Antichrist, and it's pinned on their forehead or on their right hand. Satan always tries to mimic what God does himself. See, he said, I'm going to write on you a new name. I'm going to write on you the name of my city, and I'll write on you my new name. Satan always mimics what God does, but he doesn't even come close. Then he closes out with verse 13, saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, tomorrow we're going to finish out this series by sharing the seventh church, and that is the church of Laodicea. And I believe that represents the day we're living in today, the Laodicean church age. So join me tomorrow right here on Fresh Oil, friend. Walk in grace. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled, This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.